Thank you, Kurt, for those songs.
Amen.
I'd like to welcome everybody this morning. Sherry, nice to see you with us today. Glad to see you with us in person instead of online. Barbara's probably watching us. Also, Joyce, if they can't be here, they are watching us online and with us in spirit. Got a number of visitors with us today. We're very glad to have you. We extend a special welcome to you. If there's anything we can do for you, please let us know. We'll do whatever we can to help you. Have a few people we need to remember in our prayers. Ken Walker is at home today. He had a procedure the other day to replace the battery, if I'm saying it right, in the nerve stimulator that he's got for his back problems and so forth. And he's having some trouble with it. And so he's at home, not feeling real good. Talked to him on the phone yesterday. Also, Kent and LaGuy are not here. Kent had neck surgery Friday. Tried talking to him yesterday, but they didn't answer, I'm sure. At home, sore and so forth. We'll remember him. Also, it was mentioned, I think it was last week, a friend of Beth and David Phillips that attends worship with them there at Redland Road. Her name is Tara. She's going to be having her first chemo treatment tomorrow. And it was announced that she was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer in multiple areas of her body. And she's going to be having 6 treatments, and then they will reevaluate. There's no plans for radiation right now due to how far it had spread. Beth said that you would just love her if you knew her. So her address is on the Barnabas board back there. If any of you would like to send her a card, her name's Tara. Vaniqua Turner is requesting prayers for continued good health. She's at 7 months in her pregnancy, so time's ticking. That little one's making headway. And she requests prayers for her friend Cheryl, who is requesting prayers for her health and praying for friendships and relationships with her sisters, that they will be strengthened. So we will keep Vaniqua and her friend Cheryl in our prayers. And also, Amber Lyman is requesting prayers and a thank you. She says, I just wanted to thank everyone that has helped me and Amaya through this hard time that we've been going through, both financially and spiritually, or both. Want to thank and love you all and appreciate the prayers as well. Please continue to pray for her and her family, and pray for Gus, that he gives his life back to God wholeheartedly and continue to grow and mature spiritually and mentally. So we've all been praying for Amber, Amaya, and Gus. And let's go to God in prayer right now before we get into our lesson and pray for those mentioned. Let's bow. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you thanking you so much for the blessings that you give us, both physically and spiritually. We ask that you be with those that were mentioned physically today. We ask that you be with those that are in the bulletin. Please be with them, comfort them, be with the doctors that are tending to their needs. Dear God, we ask that you continue to be with each of us. As brothers and sisters in Christ, let us strengthen, encourage, and guide each other as we walk closer to you. We hope that everything we've done today and will do is pleasing to you and done in spirit and in truth. We pray everything through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Our lesson today is titled, Be a Good Steward. And Jeff read the passage from 1 Peter that is going to be the basis of our lesson. A lot of times when we think of stewardship, a lot of times we think of our finances, be a good steward of what we're blessed with. Some people are not as wise with their finances as maybe they should be. And we're not good stewards in that way. Sometimes it's our time, the efforts that we put into things, we kind of squander. Sometimes it's our resources that we have other than money. You know, our time, our energy, the things that we have to offer, we sometimes waste. We think of a lot of times, I've heard many lessons on being stewards of God's resources, the resources of the church. I thank the men at this location for always handling the resources of the church properly. Not just throwing the money that we give to God to the wind. You know, we support a number of missionaries. We spend our money to let the word be preached here in Las Vegas. And we usually think of things like this, but our lesson is going to be based on 1 Peter 4, verses 7 through 11. There's two major components that I see in this passage. Peter says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling." He had to throw that part in. "Without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." There's two things that I see in this that Peter kind of hones in on that we are to be good stewards of. And one is stewards of each other. Peter was wanting us to focus on each other, you know, through love, to love one another, to teach. You know, one of the ways to be good stewards is to teach each other. You know, we love our children. We teach them. We don't just give birth to them, shake their hand, and tell them good luck right when you get work. We guide them. If we love each other, we're going to guide, model the behavior. Not only teach, but model what it is. Show them, each other, what to do. And fortunately, we're also sometimes called to discipline each other. Discipline is part of love. You know, a lot of times we think discipline is that big bad thing that you know, is a last resort. Discipline is part of love. You know, Vaniqua, you're getting ready to have a little one there. You're going to love it to death. And sometimes you might need to discipline out of love. Not out of meanness, out of love. Peter is calling for us to be stewards of each other, of one another. Let's look at a few scriptures that back these up. In John 13, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Jesus not only is telling them, but he's telling them the how. As I've loved you. At this point, he hadn't died on the cross yet, but he has demonstrated time and time again the love he has for them by the way he lived his life. He's demonstrated love for them, and in the future, they will see the ultimate gift of love, a sacrifice that he will give unjustly crucified. He will give his life for them, for man. In Romans 12, verse 10, Paul reminds us, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. You mean I've got to put you ahead of me? I don't have to just be nice to you with this when it's convenient? No, we've got to give preference to others over ourselves. Ouch. That's from the Apostle Paul. And he's telling the Romans they needed to do that, the Christians in Rome, but ultimately trickles down to us today. He's telling us. In Ephesians, Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. We covered this scripture recently in our Wednesday night Bible study. If you're not in the habit of coming to Wednesday night Bible study, I personally invite you to come. 6:30 in that first classroom back there. We have such wonderful discussions. And we covered this verse recently. It goes on to say how to do this. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering. It's not always easy. Some people need a little bit more long suffering with than others. Bearing with one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Paul tells us in the book of Galatians, have you noticed a number of people needed to hear these messages? The Romans, the Ephesians, the Colossians, everybody's needing to hear it. It's not just one group of people that we're having trouble with this. Paul says to the Galatians, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I am so thankful for the unity and the love this congregation has for each other. And the compassion that this group has for each other. Peter, who wrote our main verse that we're going from, also said in chapter 3, verse 8, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous. That be of one mind spiritually. We're not all going to like the same recreational activities. We're not all going to like the same hobbies, the same TV shows, the same interests, but we can be of the same mind spiritually, doctrinally. And that's what Paul or Peter is telling us to do here. To the Philippians, Paul wrote, "Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others." This one verse, if we did this, how much better would the world be? You know, that it's not just all about me. That if we looked out for other people also. Another aspect is that I saw from this passage that Peter wrote is to be good stewards of God's word. To speak as the oracles of God, to teach. Now, that first thing that we looked at, when we think of stewardship, it encompasses lots of things. But that passage that Peter talked about mentioned two things specifically. Be good stewards of each other. Monitor and take care of each other. But also be good stewards of God's word. To teach properly. To handle, to study God's word to where we rightly divide the word of truth. To defend it. It's one thing to study it, but another thing to defend the truth. To be able to, you know, a lot of people refuse to defend. I'm not going to argue with anybody. We have not argue, but we need to defend the truth. And that's another thing about this congregation. This congregation stands for the truth. And we've got to uphold it. And I'd like to look at a few scriptures as we start winding down with this being stewards of God's word. In Romans 1:16, Paul announces, he makes a proclamation, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." I've seen people go through life not necessarily ashamed, but almost apologizing for the truth. Apologizing for what the Bible says. Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." That's powerful. In Acts 20, verse 27, it reads, "For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole gospel of God." There are some parts of God's word that's easier to preach than others. The passages about love, the messages of what God has done for us, the sacrifice of Christ, those are easy. But there's some messages in the Bible that start stepping on people's toes, stepping on your own toes. Those have got to be preached also. In 2 Timothy, we have the responsibility not only to teach, but to train others to do the same thing, and it multiplies. Paul told Timothy, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." We don't just keep it to ourselves, we train others to be able to go out and teach others. He also told Timothy, "Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. What a wonderful reminder to Timothy. You're not just doing this for yourself, but the people you teach, the people you influence, like I've influenced you, you will be able to pass that on to others. Timothy himself had been influenced by his, not only Paul, but by his mother and his grandmother. Peter also wrote in 2 Peter, in chapter 3, starting in verse 15, says, as also our beloved, our brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do the rest of the scriptures. Peter is giving commendation to Paul. Hear him. Study the things that he has said. Some of the things are a little hard to understand. Some people twist them to their own destruction. You don't do that. Don't twist the scriptures, Peter is saying, because it will be your destruction also. Paul wrote to Timothy, he says, as I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. I guess there in Ephesus, people were teaching something, they were straying. And he sent Timothy there to straighten them out. We know that the same thing was going on in Galatia. You know, Paul marveled in his letter to them in chapter 1. I marvel that you're turning away so soon from the gospel that you were taught to another gospel. He says, which is really not another gospel. There's only one. And those in Ephesus were having a similar issue. In Acts 42, we see the message, the pattern that has been followed for 2,000 years. After the day of Pentecost and the church was established and 3,000 souls were baptized and added to the church, it says in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. That's a pattern for us, that when we're baptized, yes, we're forgiven of our sins, and it's the beginning of our walk with Christ. And we continue steadfastly in the teachings and the doctrine that had been given to us, in fellowship with each other, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. We're fulfilling that today, this very hour, and on. We're told by Peter to be a good steward. In this passage, I gleaned two different admonitions to be good stewards of each other and to be good stewards of God's word. Let us take that with us as we go into this new week. Maybe we can lift somebody's spirit this week. Maybe we can teach somebody this week, teach ourselves this week. We always, before we leave every assembly, we always offer an invitation to those. If you haven't been baptized, we offer you that opportunity to do so today. If you need prayers of the congregation, if you need to repent of sin in your life, or whatever else you may need. As Kurt leads us in the invitation, if you'd come forward, let your needs be known. We'll address your needs. Let's stand and sing.